This week on Thingamabob.
A snuggy pub crawl in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right now, poopery is where I'm at.
Right, on my spiritual journey.
In my headspace, yeah.
Maybe I could use these for water shoes. Stay tuned for more.
Baseball bats and gallon cowboy hats and more. Magic rings and other nerdy things in store. Listen on in, it's time for Thingamabob. Better tune in, it's time for Thingamabob.
Thingamabob!
Well, hello, Brie.
Well, hello, Josh.
Hello, everybody listening.
And welcome to Thingamabob.
This week's theme is QVC as seen on TV.
Yay.
All of the above.
Joshua, did you know that QVC stands for quality, value, convenience?
I didn't, but that makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense.
Thank you for that little fun fact right away,
You're
right off the bat.
So welcome. I thought about including in mine, but I felt like it made sense for right now.
It does make sense here. I have a little thing to say, too.
Oh.
I was talking to my parents about how we were doing QVC.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad made an interesting point that QVC, you can draw a line between QVC and, snake oil salesmen. Because all they were doing was going door to door to demonstrate this thing so then people would buy it.
That is so true.
Isn't that true? And then what that made me think of was the fact that you can continue that line to Instagram influencers.
How all they're doing
is just showing and demonstrating a product for then people to buy it.
You're so right. Instagram influencers are the new snake oil salesmen.
You heard it here.
Oh my God, that is a great point.
I know. I just thought that was so such an interesting point of this kind of thing has been happening for so long. It didn't just come with TV where they were we should demonstrate products for people. It's no, that's been happening for literally ever.
That is so true. Yeah, this episode is now going to be the history of snake oil salesmen. We're not focusing just on one product. It's just people.
Buy Pirelli's Miracle Elixir.
Stop. When I think of snake oil salesman, I always think of Oklahoma because what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Something Ali.
Ali Hakim.
Yeah, he sells he sells a bunch of stuff, but perfumes
it's
and
exactly
things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I think of.
Could put him on QVC.
He'd do great. He was an amazing snake oil salesman.
Yeah. Of course, the first thing, when I was looking at QVC, the first thing that came up was that guy who was oh, I could just kiss you. And he runs forward and kisses randomly the air and then turns around and then trips. You know you've seen that video.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Fine, I'll send it to you later.
Okay, thank you. I don't even think this was on QVC, but I think of that rainbow sponge lady that was a meme for a while.
Oh my God, I love
that video. I don't even think it was on QVC, but it was this, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it was this woman who had a sponge that would paint rainbow colors. And you could do it in all these different patterns. And she was losing her mind over this sponge. She was like, oh my God. Oh, look it. Oh, absolutely going crazy over the sponge.
As she should.
Actually, it was a great product. She was a great saleswoman.
It worked. I wanted that sponge. I did.
Did you really?
When I was young. Yeah. Wow. I was oh my God, that's so cool. I want to paint with a sponge. Yeah.
Oh, she got you. She tricked
you. She got me. You got me, gal.
Okay,
Brie, how about... Which one?
No, you go.
Okay, fine. I'll give you my rose this week. How's that?
That's great.
It's been 2 weeks since Brie and I, spoilers, have recorded, so this is very exciting.
We're tricky. You didn't even know.
Maybe they did.
Probably.
Some people do.
Yeah.
But my rose this week is that... my body is starting to look and work the way that I want it to.
Oh my God. I'm very happy for you.
It's been such a long quarantine of me not caring that I don't know. It's so counterintuitive, but if I go to the gym before a show or before rehearsal, I'll have more energy, which I thought it'd be the opposite. I was just doing it to do it. because it's available and there's nobody at the gym. Yeah. So it's like a personal gym. But it's actually given me more energy to do rehearsal. And when I don't go to the gym, I find that I don't have as much energy for the show. It's wild.
That's what everyone says about working out, is that it gives you endorphins. And endorphins make people happy.
And happy, happy people just don't kill their husbands.
Don't kill their husbands.
Okay, chutney.
Yeah, they have energy for shows, you know. That's yeah. great. I'm very
I'm not
happy
here to kill
you.
My husband.
That's so funny because your rose is my thorn.
Not, oh my God,
not
great.
In the same way.
Tell me more.
It's not in the same way. But my thorn is that I am covered in bug bites right now. So it's about my body. But I got devoured by mosquitoes this past week because I was on vacation at a lake and it was lovely, but there were a lot of bugs. So I have bug bites all over, and then my skin also broke out. So I'm just covered in bumps.
Ooh, love.
Head to toe covered in bumps.
Love that it's for awful. You.
It's awful. And that is my thorn.
Are they really itchy?
Yes, they're mosquito bites. Also, I think I react more to mosquito bites than other people. I feel like I have like more of an allergic reaction because mine get like really big. This is such a like TMI, but yeah, when I get bit by a mosquito, it's like it's awful. It gets like, I don't know, gross. So
I feel bad because mosquitoes don't like me.
That's so great for you.
Yeah, I don't get bit. I'm privileged.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Anyways, Josh, what was your thorn?
My thorn this week is that I only have one more weekend of shows.
Oh.
For Greece. Oh. Yeah.
I don't think you even told the people that you're in Greece.
Hi, everyone. I'm in Greece. And you my life were... is kind of crazy.
Oh, my God. You said you were going on contract, but I don't think you said you were in Greece.
Yes, I am in Greece, everyone. Wow. I'm playing Kanicki. If you listen to this voice and you're like, that voice sounds like he could play Kanicki, you know.
Big reveal.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the most toxic masculine man that ever existed.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yes, it's been a lovely, like, actually a really great time. I never thought I would like Greece, mm-hmm. But being in Greece is such a, like, hilarious fun time, and obviously everyone agrees that it's the worst, but like because we all agree that, we can just have fun and like make fun of it on stage, which makes it more fun. So it's been a really good time. I have had a lovely time as Kanicki, being a, you know, toxic man. And my mom made a good point. I was mm-hmm. like, I never thought I could play this role. And you know me, I was like so stressed about it. And I was like, I don't want to do this because it's really not in my wheelhouse. And really, this is going to be the first thing that I do out of quarantine. Mm-hmm. But like, actually, it is in my wheelhouse. And I didn't realize this, but my mom was like, this reminded me of Feed, of that like character.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so true.
At Oakland, we did like a one of the other classmates wrote a production, Garrett, wrote a production of, like, or adapted a stage production of Feed, the book. If you don't know it, it's about, like, a chip in your head. And I played kind of a similar character in that. So I was like, oh, that's such an interesting
you totally
point. Like,
did.
Yeah, I did kind of have that already in me, and I didn't even realize.
Well, and also, you're an actor, Josh. You don't have to play roles right. that are exactly right. who you are.
True.
It's
that's
acting.
I know, but I was like, I was really worried I wasn't even going to be able to be close.
No, because... no, no. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like
so
Greece
what was
is like.
My
Where we, do we do? Do we? Do
oh,
we
one weekend left. That was
oh,
my
thorn. Oh, yes. One weekend left. Yeah. That's true. But I was going to say Greece is one of those shows that is like so campy and over the top that
yes.
it's totally something that it is already in your wheelhouse because you're great at that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, it can
he
be like
shouldn't
stupid
have been worried.
Purpose.
Yeah,
I know. It did kind of like wake me up though to be like, oh no, this is something I can do. Like mm-hmm. I shouldn't sell myself short in other calls that kind of mm-hmm. have like that. Like whenever they describe like someone as like athletic and bro-y, I like write that off because I'm like, I can't do that. But
right,
I can.
You can, and they always say that like you shouldn't typecast yourself. You should let the casting directors typecast you. So.
And that is that on that.
That is that on that.
What about your rose, Brie? And just on a positive note.
Yeah, my rose, I kind of already mentioned it, is that I got to leave hot, sweaty, disgusting New York City for a week and go on vacation with my family. And it was lovely because all of us were there and we all live in like different parts of the country. We're very scattered. So it was nice for all of us to get together because I don't get to see everyone all that often. So it was really nice. We got to hang out around a lake for a week and it was a good time. And that's my rose.
Breathe some not garbage air.
Breathe some not garbage bug-filled air. It was great.
Love that.
Yep. Yeah, that's all I have to say on that.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, let's do some on TV shopping.
A thing we all do now, on TV shopping. Let's go.
Right.
Okay, Josh, I'm going to tell you about the Snuggie.
Yes. I had one of those, actually.
You did?
The pink one.
Like an actual from TV Snuggie?
A Snuggie brand Snuggie.
Wow. They got you.
I think my sister had the leopard print one.
Okay. I'm really happy for you guys.
It was comfy. Well, it was.
I believe it. I'm going to tell you all about the origins of the Snuggie. So, the Snuggie, if you haven't heard of it, it's very easy to describe. It's a blanket with sleeves. That's it. That's all there is to the Snuggie.
Great. Thanks, yep. Brie.
You're welcome. Listen, you described a pencil, like what a pencil was, like two episodes ago.
How dare you?
So, anyways, it's a blanket with sleeves.
I wanted the people to know.
And I did too.
Good.
So, it was not the first blanket with sleeves on the market. It's just the one that had the best marketing.
No.
So, yep. It all comes down to marketing. Before the Snuggie came the Slanket.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. No.
So, yes, no. So, Gary Clegg, the inventor of the Slanket and sometimes professional snowboarder? Question mark. I read a website that said he's a snowboarder and was sometimes paid to do it. So, sometimes wow. Professional snowboarder. He was sitting in his very cold freshman dorm room at the University of Maine in 1998. He was bundled up, watching TV in his sleeping bag, and was apparently attempting to change the channel through the sleeping bag, but it wasn't working. So, Gary cut a hole in his sleeping bag.
What is this?
To use the TV remote. It sounds to me like Gary was like ingesting something other than TV shows. I don't know what he was doing, where the solution was cutting a hole out of his sleeping bag.
He's just so lazy. Pull your arm out.
He didn't want to get cold.
No,
so
it's cold.
Yep. So he cut a hole in his sleeping bag, and it worked, but his arm was cold. So on a trip home, he asked his mom to sew a sleeve onto the bag. Later on, he would add a second sleeve for your second arm, of course.
Yes.
He would also tweak the design to be a blanket instead of a sleeping bag. And then after he graduated from school, he asked his mom to make up several prototypes, and then he gave these out as presents to friends and family. So really, his mom is the true MVP because she's the one who's creating all of these slankets for him. It was his idea, yes. So Gary moved to New York City in 2003 and started acting and writing while he was researching how he could turn the slanket into a business. So he eventually got his brother Jeff on board as an investor in his product, and he started mass producing the Slanket, available at slanket.com starting in 2006. So the Slanket saw early success, and Gary found a manufacturer in China, and then he did a tour of houseware trade shows where the Slanket was picked up by QVC and SkyMall in 2007, and it was featured on the Today Show. So by the next year, the Slanket had received $4.2 million in revenue.
A year.
In 1 year. Yep. So Gary would appear regularly on the QVC channel to sell his product himself, and he would use the Slankit slogan, spread the warmth. Very cute.
Aw, cute.
Adorable. However, at the end of 2008, the first test commercials for a new rival product called the Snuggie began airing. And the rest is history, which I will tell you now.
No, not that statement.
I'm going to tell you now. Okay. So, the Snuggie, which is another iteration of a blanket with sleeves, made its debut in 2008 with the now much parodied infomercial style that became its claim to fame. In the 2-minute long commercial, we see people wearing Snuggies while reading, knitting, eating popcorn, and a whole family in Snuggies attending a football game.
Oh, yes. I can picture it right now, literally. Yeah. I love this commercial.
If you can't picture it, I'm going to play you a clip right now.
Yes.
You want to keep warm when you're feeling chilled, but you don't want to raise your heating bill. Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside. Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves. The Snuggie keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands. So now, you can work the remote or read a book in total warmth and comfort. Use your laptop without being cold or enjoy a snack while staying snugly warm.
So, apparently the ad was intentionally over the top. It was meant to be funny and garner attention.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know. And we've seen that work before because I talked about it a little bit with the Pet Rock, where you might have like the world's dumbest product, but advertising is everything. So if you can sell people an idea or a joke, they will buy it. So the Snuggie was like, it was just a funny commercial where people were like, hang on, I feel like I need to like check this product out. And then they buy it because it's not that expensive. And they just like check it out and they buy it and it works.
So true.
Yep. So I actually have a quote from Scott Bolin, who is the CEO of All Star Innovations, which is the company that owns and markets the Snuggie. So he said, we had seen products like these in catalogs for a while, even before the Slankit came out, I think. So they acknowledged that the Slankit was first. And we thought if we could put a clever commercial behind it and offer it at a better value price, then people would buy it. They knew what they were doing. So All-Star shelled out roughly $10 million in ad spots and offered the Snuggie at a starting price of $19.95. Its main competitor at the time, the Slankit, was sold at $44.95. So it's way cheaper and it's like readily available and it has a funny commercial behind it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I will say, I read this article that was like ranking all of the blankets with sleeves. And the guy who did it was like, the quality is reflected in the price and the Snuggie is not as good of quality as the Slankit. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But.
Okay, fair, but it if is you're a buying lot cheaper. This thing, it's cheaper, and also it's just so silly. Like, why would you spend $40 when you can spend $20 on a blanket with sleeves?
Exactly. Well, and that was their thinking. So since the airing of the ad, there are now hundreds of parody videos online, some of which have over 1 million views. When asked about the Snuggie's influence on social media, Scott Bolin said, certain products transcend advertising and become an indelible part of popular culture.
I mean, those parodies are just helping sell the actual thing.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Now, when I was researching, I was trying to sort of understand, like, well, like, how can somebody get away with essentially, like, ripping off the exact same product to somebody else? But because of the nature of this particular product, no one was actually able to patent the design of the Slankit or the Snuggie or any other like copycat versions that came out. And it's because when I was reading up about it, it's described as someone trying to patent a t-shirt or a sock or something like that. Things that are so commonplace and they don't have a lot of technical elements or parts. Those sort of things are really difficult to get a patent on because, like, you know, how can you patent a t-shirt? Of course, everyone's going to have their own sign for a t-shirt. You can't, like, you know, H&M can't sue Forever 21 for also selling t-shirts. Right. So that's sort of like...
Interesting.
Yeah, the thing around it where they couldn't really get a patent on it. And I think they had some, like, intellectual property lawyers look into it. And they were all like, yeah, it would be, like, a really uphill battle. So it's not worth it. So they couldn't get a patent on it. However, the success of the Snuggie actually did some good for Gary Clegg, who invented this blanket, because the ridiculous ad spot actually increased awareness and viewership of his own product. So much so.
Wow.
Yeah. So much so that his $4.2 million earnings in 2008 increased to around $9 million in 2009. They doubled in a year.
So how mad can he be? Oh, my God.
Exactly. He did.
Weird.
He did, however, lose out on selling his products in big box stores like Bed Bath & Beyond and Walmart and Walgreens and places like that, which I'll talk about a little bit later, is actually where they make most of the money from those as seen on TV products. It's not from the TV sales. It's from in-person sales. Sure. So he missed out on that because the Snuggie managed to corner that market before he was able to. But his already existing business was unaffected. So, like, online sales and, like, QVC television sort of related sales were fine. So he's, like, he's okay. He's fine.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, maybe, I don't really know, like, the timeline kind of thing. But mm-hmm. I wonder, like, was he ever, like, on track to be in those stores anyway?
I think he was. I read an interview with him where it was, like, he was looking into it. And then the article said that he claims that he had some big box stores lined up, but he wouldn't say which ones they were, which to me is a little bit like, well, I don't know. If you won't say them, then maybe they don't exist. But
tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really know.
At least he got a little more coin.
He got a little more coin. He got a little more attention on his own product. So he's fine. He's doing okay. So one might wonder, how was the Snuggie so successful? How was something that's basically a backwards bathrobe so successful? And people think that it's because they the debut of the Snuggie happened right when social media was really starting to take off. YouTube had launched 2.5 years prior and was picking up a lot of steam, while Twitter and Facebook were being used more and more by different businesses, both for advertising and for just, like, presence on social media. So Snuggie CEO Scott Bolin, again, said it was the first product that really went viral, that really went mainstream like that. It was probably the first product that had the advantage of social media really peaking. So
that's,
it's so interesting because it's another example of, like, a product that was perfect for its time, which we talked about a lot in the 60s episode, where it's like these products probably wouldn't last as well outside of the time period that they were invented. And that is so true for something like this, where, like, traditional, like, television marketing on things like the Home Shopping Network and QVC were sort of starting to die out, but social media was taking over and the Snuggie, like, crossed both worlds, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's very interesting to think about. So many media outlets actually attribute the invention of the sleeved blanket to Scott Bolin, CEO of All-Star Innovations. As I've said many times, in case you forgot.
The icon, the queen, Scott Bolin.
And so Gary Clegg obviously feels a certain type of way about the Snuggie as it sort of, like, stole his thunder. So he actually has referred to it as a cheap knockoff that undermines the integrity of his own product.
Please. I know. No, not the integrity of the slanket.
It's a bit dramatic. But Gary's slanket, as it turns out, also wasn't the first blanket with sleeves on the market.
Not this twist.
I know. I love a good twist.
Not this twist.
It's not really that twisty. But before the slanket, there was something called the Freedom Blanket. It was invented by...
What a horrible name.
Or a great name. The Freedom of Motion. The Freedom
Very
Blanket.
Very American.
Very American. It was invented by Sean Iannuzzi and his wife, who was not named in the article. So yay feminism. The Freedom
nice.
Blanket, I know, was being sold on freedomblanket.com in April of 2005, 8 months before slanket.com went live.
Oof.
So Mrs. Iannuzzi would make the blankets herself in their New Jersey home, and they had sold 13,000 units prior to this blanket's debut, despite never having advertised them and selling only through their website.
Wow.
Yeah. Gary Clegg claims that he only learned of the Freedom Blanket after he began manufacturing the blanket, and says that he would never go around saying that I came up with something if it wasn't true. I would have no right to be annoyed with the Snuggie people if that was the case.
Interesting.
But we do know...
It's very convenient timing.
It is convenient timing, and we also have timestamps that the Freedom Blanket was first. So,
that's wild, though. You always wonder, like, because we've run into this on Thingamabob before, mm-hmm. where things are so close
mm-hmm.
that you're like, but this. And then you just wonder, you're like, how convenient is it that in millennia, you know, that our human, at least recent human history is, that these things are invented in, like, years or even months apart.
Right.
Like, how, you know?
And, like, it's hard to tell because, nobody can own a patent on this, like we talked about earlier, so it's not like the patent owner is the inventor. I don't know. Everybody's really close
I knew
together.
His cutting holes into a sleeping bag was ridiculous. I knew it.
It was a made-up story to cover the truth. Oh, God. Oh.
We're not claiming that, but it is us.
It is. I know. Don't sue us. Okay. So there is the Freedom Blanket. There's the Slanket. There's the Snuggie. But there are also many other versions of the blanket that are out there, including the Toasty Wrap, the Hoodie Footy, the Dojo, the Go-Go Blanket, the Kangaroo, which has a pocket in the front, and the Blankcoat. The Blankcoat is a $330 version of a Snuggie that is 120 inches long and made out of Icelandic sheep's wool. So,
not the bougie
you know,
Snuggie.
If you have like a little bit of spare change laying around, go ahead and pick up a Blankcoat.
I got one of the ads for the footy.
Did you? The Hoodie Footy?
Hoodie Footy? Because it's an Australian brand, right?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Okay.
I've been, because I always get this, every time they, I can't do the accent. I was going to try. But I can't
do it.
Literally.
It didn't sound like it at all.
No, I know. That's why I stopped.
Yeah.
I get those ads all the time on my Instagram because I clicked one of them because I was mm-hmm. like, oh, this looks kind of comfy and interesting.
Yeah.
And now all I get is this stupid I love my it's hoodie.
But it's like a similar thing.
It's like a huge like hoodie, but it's like giant and like lined with like Sherpa on the inside.
Oh, I think I've seen those.
It's the hoodie. Yeah. I just realized.
Yeah. I get. I mean, that's,
conversation. We love that.
It's fine. That stuff happens all the time. I clicked on one single Teva's ad because I was like, maybe I could use these for water shoes. And now the only that's a true story. Now the only ads I get are for like adventure sandals. That's it.
See, that's just the way it is.
It's the way life is now.
That's the way. Yeah.
I know.
We love it.
Anyways, to get us back on track. I have a few fun facts for us to close us out.
You know, we all do love fun facts.
We do. We love fun facts. In 2015, All Star Products Group, the owner of the Snuggie, paid an $8 million settlement because they had essentially tricked customers into a buy one, get one free deal where they would pay $19.95 for two Snuggies instead of, I think it was like $14.99 or something similar. That was the cost for one. So apparently, due to a lot of hidden fees, customers ended up paying almost twice that amount and weren't aware of it until after the product was purchased. So they had to settle in court to give people their money back.
Oh, God.
Yep. And then a little inside scoop into the world of as seen on TV products, which I found so fascinating. Apparently, those like really ridiculous over the top commercials are not actually meant to sell products. They are meant to capture attention and raise awareness that a product exists. So apparently it is most common for companies to actually lose money when products are only available through infomercial channels. So the majority of their profits on products like the Snuggie or similar things that are seen on QVC or Home Shopping Network or whatever actually come from in-person purchases at big box stores where products appear in that as seen on TV packaging. So when they like air the ad, this is what I read, they don't actually have the stock of product available yet. They wait for big box stores to place orders until they like start fulfilling. So it's like a weird little like we're going to advertise this before we really have the inventory for it. And then we'll see like how well it does. It's very interesting.
Manipulative.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There's a name for that too, where like you, once you start thinking about something, you'll see it. So mm-hmm. at those like stores where there's a million products, mm-hmm. if you've seen the Snuggie commercial, then the Snuggie product will stick out at that store. And then you'll be like, oh yeah, I did see this thing for that. There's a name absolutely. For that effect.
I don't know, but that is true. apparently, this whole situation wasn't really the case for the Snuggie, though, because they turned a profit immediately. Like, they didn't lose money on online sales alone. But they are now sold in stores like Walmart and Bed Bath & Beyond and yada, yada, yada. In 2009, a group of people organized a Snuggie pub crawl in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I think that was in order to raise money for charity. But since then, there have been like hundreds of other Snuggie pub crawls. And I don't know what the point is because I don't think they're all for charity, but it's something that people are doing. So
honestly, sounds kind of iconic.
Sounds great. Sounds like a comfortable time. And then also in 2009, Snuggie's designer line of products, which just come in like different patterns and things like that. It's not just like the basic blue or pink. They were showcased on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and every audience member got to take a Snuggie home. That's it. That's what I have for you on the Snuggie.
Oh, God, that was fun. That was a fun time.
It was a fun time. I enjoyed it.
The Snuggie, man. I don't know. Yeah. My pink one is thrown away, so.
You mean you didn't keep your Snuggie forever?
I know. I should have.
Wow.
It's embarrassing.
Wasteful.
All right, Brie. I'm here to talk to you about poopery.
I can't wait.
I know.
You sent me that commercial from earlier.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yes. I watched it and I was like, I can't believe this was said on television.
Incredible, though, right?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That commercial. I'll play that commercial for us later. But yeah. That commercial is literally so iconic that, it's yeah.
insane.
It helped sell it, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Funny.
What were you going to say?
So we have had
poopery.
We have had poopery at mm-hmm. our apartment.
We have.
Thanks to Miss Jacqueline.
Yes. Good friend, non-listener, Jacqueline Wilk.
The best part about poopery and Jacqueline is that she had it for herself to, mm-hmm. like, make us not smell her poop.
Yes.
But, like, she had to smell our poop.
She'd be so mad at us.
No, she would not.
You don't think?
She'd be... No, because we're like, I'm telling people that she was like nice to us.
That's true.
You know,
she
by
was
spraying poopery.
Yeah.
And we were not.
That's true.
Because we didn't use her poopery.
Just roommate things.
Just roommate things. Anyway. Okay, so poopery. The woman that invented poopery, her name is Susie Batiz. Mm-hmm. And she grew up very poor with a father who was a bipolar alcoholic and a mother who suffered from depression. Ooh. So she... Yeah, she has that, like, cliche rags to riches type of story because yeah. her life in Arkansas was very hard. And to try to combat this, she, like, liked making things mm-hmm. and liked, you know, kind of, like, playing around with stuff because she couldn't be like, hey, can you guys buy me clothes? You know, they couldn't. So she was like, yeah. you know what, let me just, like, take my clothes and, like, paint on them and, like, mm-hmm. make them different or something like that, you know?
Wow.
So she... desired nothing more than to get money to leave Arkansas in this situation she was in. So she tried lots of different like ideas and stuff like that. And one of those ideas was Listerine strips, mm-hmm. but it was like laced with Red Bull. So they were like caffeine strips.
Oh my God. Oh my God. My jaw just like dropped.
Why that never made it past the drawing board, I'll never know. If I could get Listerine laced with Red Bull, oh, God.
Jeez.
Say no more.
Dear God.
I know, yeah. So that was, like, kind of the thing she was, like, trying to, like, think up. That obviously didn't go anywhere. Probably because she'd also have to, like, talk to two different companies that were already established. In 1980, at 17, though, she had an idea that, like, actually was going to kind of take off. And that was denim-covered pumps, which is not unheard of now. Mm-hmm. But in 1980, it hadn't existed, I guess, yet. And this was just at 17 years old. And she was so ambitious that she called Guess to, like, be like, hey, I have this idea for denim-covered pumps. And Guess was going to fly her out to New York to, like, come work with them and create these, like, heels.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's wild, but it's, like, I mean, it's a little silly.
The 80s is exactly where denim-covered pumps would live. That makes sense.
Which is why, like, you know, they were going to fly her out because they were like, wait a second.
This is
it's kind of fierce. Yeah.
This is the moment.
But, you know, we talked about, like, what her parental situation was.
Yeah.
Her mother said, no, you can't go to New York, and stopped her, saying that they would want nothing from a little girl from Arkansas.
Oh.
So, tough life that she was kind of having. And she, obviously, she was 17, so she was, like, she was still influenced by her parents to be, like, not go. So she's going to listen to her parents, and then also just, like, when you kind of grow up in that environment, you feel like, yeah, you're not good enough, you know? So you're not going to, like, take that extra step to rebel. So kind of hard. But at age 19, her father had a better job and lent her money to own a bridal salon. So this is kind of complicated. So I said rags to riches, but she was given $40,000 to buy this bridal salon. So now it's less of that kind of story and more of, like, her parents are able to pay for something that so she could start a business. Obviously, owning your own shop is very costly. And this put her into bankruptcy at the age of 20.
No. Oh.
Yeah. Not only that, but she also went through two divorces after this bankruptcy.
Oh. Wow.
Not that far apart, to be honest.
Wow, she has not lived an easy life.
No, it's not over. Oh, God. She then tried to start a startup, in 2001 that matched job seekers with companies. And
doesn't
she
that
had
exist?
Yes, but apparently not in 2001, or maybe not like the type that she wanted to create.
Yeah.
She was working at a startup firm in Texas, and she wanted to start an online company that was able to do that same thing, like Indeed.com. I don't know. I didn't look up the history of Indeed.com to see if it was that old, but apparently this was ahead of its time, quote unquote.
Right.
So,
well,
she hadn't.
Whatever articles you read probably would have mentioned if she was also the founder of Indeed.com.
Well, no, she's not. I'm just saying that she's like, she might have had this idea a little earlier than other people did.
Right. That's
essentially what all these articles were saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this was quote unquote ahead of its time, according to her and others. And so companies that, or investors that were giving her money were going to give her $5 million. And 1 year into this venture, backed out.
No.
And so she,
oh my God,
she filed for bankruptcy a second time.
Oh my God.
A second time.
Oh, jeez.
However, all this being said, obviously there's, you know, we're talking about something that was successful.
Yeah.
This was a blessing in disguise because it caused her to focus on downsizing and herself. And also she became super spiritual. There's a whole The New Yorker article that was posted about, like, spirituality linking with, like, company success. So if you want to read it, I'm not talking about it, but if you want to read it, it's linked in the description.
Yeah.
But basically this forced her to kind of, like, figure out what she wanted, as opposed to, like, being like, I just need to make money, you know, because she was trying to escape and make a name for herself coming from a troubled childhood. So once she started meditating and, like, doing different practices in spirituality, it ended up being really good for her because she was able to kind of, like,
Focus and
focus and do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to like just to rebel or something like that. Now mm-hmm. she's doing it for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things she started playing with, as any spiritual white middle-aged woman would, essential oils.
Oh my God.
Essential oils, baby.
Read everyone, all of us, every single
Sorry.
One.
Yeah, so she's doing that. And in 2006, while she was at a party, her brother-in-law came up with an idea. Could she come up with something to mask that terrible poop scent that was wafting from the bathroom at that party?
Oh, no. At the party. Oh, God.
Apparently, yeah, he, like, went to the bathroom or something, and there was just a bad smell.
Wow. Plot twist, it was him. And he was like, I don't, some, like, random person
Honestly,
left
probably.
This awful scent. Can you cover it up?
Wasn't me, but couldn't.
Wasn't it absolutely? I haven't pooped in years. I don't know. Who it was. It wasn't me.
Oh my God, yes. So because she was working with essential oils, mm-hmm. Batiste knew that she maybe could come up with something, and she began testing. So she obviously, like, when you're testing things, you need people that aren't just you. So when family members would come over and they had to use the bathroom, she was like, hey, what are you gonna do in there? I have to try out some stuff.
So she could, like, child, like, is it a number one or a number two?
Literally. Yeah. Oh, these are quotes. She was literally like, hey, what are you going to do in there? So when they would poop, yeah, she'd be like, oh, can I try out this quick little formula? Oh, so in 2007, about 9 months after trial and error, mm-hmm. her current husband, Hector, this is her third husband and also her current, walked out of the bathroom and said, we're going to be millionaires.
This whole story stemmed
from poop.
Oh, my God. Not like, hey, honey, this is $1 million poop. Like, oh, my God.
It just makes me think of like holes when they smell the shoe and they're like, yeah. There's no scent. There's no, it's literally what I'm a picturing, but like the toilet.
But worse. Oh my God.
Yeah, but worse. So she used $25,000 of her own money, another little privileged thing that not everyone can do, just to keep upfront about this kind of thing, and began manufacturing. So for the first 6 years, it was sold. This is 2007.
Mm-hmm.
First 6 years, it was sold in small shops and through word of mouth, which mm-hmm. is essentially what QVC kind of does.
Yeah.
But this was not on QVC yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Here's how, I feel like this is a good time to talk about how poopery works.
because
it's not just like a spray. This is actually a little interesting. I didn't think about this. Maybe this is known, but you spray it before you go, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it creates a protective layer because what happens, because it's essential oils, mm-hmm. is it doesn't mix with the water. It sits on top of the water. So what this does is that when you're dropping a deuce and a little poop goes through that protective layer,
uh-huh.
it gets covered by that layer of essential oil.
Yeah.
So all you smell is the scent because it's going through it, not mixing with it.
Yeah. Oh, that makes kind a lot of sense. Yeah.
It does, right? So that's why it's so successful, because it actually does that scientifically.
Yeah.
And it has been proven to work, obviously.
Yeah. Do you do personal trials of that?
Jacqueline did.
Our good friend Jacqueline.
In 2012, Poopery formed its first partnership with QVC.
Ooh.
There are plenty of awkward QVC videos for Poopery. Like, literally so many. And I tried to look up, like, the first one, but I couldn't find it. Because there are just, like hundreds of videos of mm-hmm. like this being demonstrated on QVC, especially because now they have QVC YouTube. So,
oh, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, before we like settled on what we were doing for this episode, I looked briefly into Poopery, and I read something about how QVC was so awkward about it because they wouldn't actually say poop. They would just refer to it as the odor. They're like, so once the odor is in the toilet bowl,
yeah,
the Poopery covers it up. They like wouldn't say poop.
Which is so interesting, because like Batiste is like so strong in her, like, you have to talk about it. Like, talk about poop. It's you know, like, stop. Everybody There's poops. No stigma behind it. Literally everybody. Did you read that book as a child?
Not as a child, but as an adult, it's my favorite.
That would be your favorite book.
I have a signed edition.
Oh, love that. From poop themselves.
Yeah, it's framed.
So this, the QVC ads helped sales a little bit, but it actually was in 2013 when like the true breakthrough came, because they came up with very clever marketing. The iconic ad online that came out, there was apparently, when it came out in 2013, the comments on this ad are that like they wouldn't skip it. This is like the only ad that I wouldn't skip or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I'll play you a clip of it. But it's like basically a like posh British woman like talking about using every word but like poop, you know, like you
but
describing
arguably worse. The descriptors are arguably worse than just
which makes it so hilarious.
Yeah.
And so Brie was talking about like self-aware marketing of like purposefully being hilarious is like, that's what this was. And she, like I said, she wanted this to be like something that people talked about, because like, why not talk about it? When you're uncomfortable about it, you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to buy this product or whatever. But like when you're like upfront about it, like everyone does this, like then you feel more comfortable being like, yeah, like I do feel awkward when I'm, you know, pooping and someone is going to use their bathroom right after
when
me.
When I smell up an entire bathroom.
Yeah. And I know that someone can hear it and smell it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So she partnered with the Harmon brothers, who were kind of like, well, literal brothers, who had done commercials and kind of knew how to like do the marketing thing. And this commercial was released called Girls Don't Poop. And it went extremely viral. Right now it has 43 million views on YouTube.
Oh my God.
And I'll play the beginning, just the beginning of it right here.
You would not believe the motherload I just dropped. And that's how I like to keep it, leaving not a trace that I was ever here, let alone that I just birthed a creamy behemoth from my cavernous bowels. Nothing is worse than stinking up the shared toilet at work, or the toilet at a party, or your lover's apartment. Of course, flushing removes the graphic evidence. Maybe two or three flushes if your skid marks are as tenacious as mine.
So within days of that commercial's release, the company had $4 million worth of orders within days.
Oh my God.
And they weren't prepared for that. At this point, they were manufacturing 100 bottles of poopery a day.
Uh-huh.
And so the company that she was working with to manufacture these couldn't keep up. And so she had said that she slept over at the warehouse. And some article said like, on boxes, you know, but I'm sure it wasn't that dramatic.
Right. she had a cot in her office.
But she did say, like, in an interview that she called the company and was like, I'm flying out tomorrow and we're going to figure this out, because I will not stand that you guys can't manufacture enough to keep up with these sales. And she got a call from the CEO of the manufacturing company that said, no, we're totally here to work with you. Like, this helps us all. So they did all that and increased production. And by the next year, Poopery was in 9,000 stores.
Wow. Wow.
Just from this commercial, you know, like, yeah, she was in like small shops for those 6 years that it was first out and by word of mouth and all that. But like this, the viral commercial, like put her in Walmart and Bed Bath & Beyond and Target. Yeah.
You just know that like whoever wrote that commercial did not get paid enough money to like generate that amount of return.
I mean, the Harmon brothers, I probably did.
Yeah, I would knowing, hope so.
Knowing, because they're not like an unestablished advertising group. So they probably did. They probably like made a deal being like, we know how good this is going to be.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to be good.
Royalties or something.
Yeah. Well, more importantly, like there was only like four actresses auditioned for that commercial.
Really?
And
I mean, the script is pretty, the script is pretty intense.
I could see the issues.
Yeah.
But one got it, and now she is like famous because she now does all the poopery commercials.
She's the poopery
There's
girl.
So many.
It's like Flow, but for poopery.
Exactly. And once that first one goes so viral, like the next one you'll get paid more. So good for her. Good for her. At least,
good
you know.
Her.
So today, they have sold more than 60 million bottles of poopery. which is just wild because it seems like such a specific item. You know, like a lot of people have like any off-brand scent spray. Like we have like those Febreze.
A Glade spray or whatever.
Glade, yes. Yeah. But Poopery is so successful because it like actually works to like kind of do it before.
Yeah.
And because she owns 97% of the company, she's worth $215 million.
Wow. Oh my God. That is a lesson. Speaking of
yes.
Yeah. If you come up with something like that, own the majority of your company by a lot. Wow.
Truly. I know, especially because like she, you know, she's married and mm-hmm. her husband doesn't own.
Who knows?
She does, girl.
Unless they have a really good prenup.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. We don't know her personal life. Wow.
Yeah. I know. I just think that's so crazy because it's like, she's obviously one of the richest self-made women.
Yeah.
And just the fact that it's literally from poop is so iconic. And then also just like literally her knowing her worth and being able to be like, I'm going to own most of this company. I'm going to go fly to work with the manufacturer. I'm going to work, you know, here and like do all, you know, like it's just so cool for her not to be like, yeah, let me sell this company. And she's talked about it where she's like, you know, I'm getting a little older. Like, do I want to sell this company? Maybe, because she's trying to like work on other ventures and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But she's just like, you know, if it's not there, it's not there. You know, she's spiritual. So she's like, right now, Poopery is where I'm at.
Right. On my spiritual journey.
In my headspace. Yeah. In my spiritual journey.
Poopery station.
Right. Yeah. And if, you know, I'm guided elsewhere, yeah, then I'll sell it. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. I mean, we're making fun a little bit, but like, that's amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah. I feel like I took over because you love to do like these self-made women.
I do.
I felt honored to be the one this week to do like this.
I loved
it. You know,
yeah.
Just because it's so interesting of like, you know, she tried so many things.
Right. Well, and this episode was so fun to me because I feel like you think about these like silly items that are being sold, but like none of us know the backstory of those. And we have shows now like Shark Tank where like some items that are similar will come up and they'll sort of like give the pitch and they'll explain it a little bit more. But we didn't always have that. And so it was really fun for me to both like dive in this week and learn about the Snuggie myself, but then also to just like hear about it. So it was so fun. I loved it.
Yeah. No, this, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Literally, like, because it's so funny, like, how ridiculous these objects can be.
Right.
But then, like, how interesting actually some of the way they came about
is. Right. And, like, the people behind it, you know? You don't, like, always think about that with a product. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you so much for listening. If you have any theme suggestions for us, send them over to thingamabobpodcast@gmail.com. Or slide into our DMs on Instagram at thingamabobpodcast or on Twitter at thingamabobpod. While you're there, give us a follow and please subscribe to our show on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen. Please leave us a review. It really does help us show up on the iTunes charts and the new and recommended pages. Make sure to join us next week where we slay the house down boots, hunty, sis, yes, God. Come on, mama. Oh, honey. And talk about pride.
Brie! And thank you so much for joining us, because now we are all two things smarter.